Hey, Freedom Family, welcome to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller. I am the founder and host of this series. Every other week, we'll bring you some of the most life-giving conversations that will empower you to overcome your shame, own your truth, and unlock your freedom. Thank you for joining this conversation today. Now let your freedom journey begin. Hey, Freedom Family, welcome back to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller, and I am the founder and host of this series. Today's guest, we had Meredith Andrews, who is a musician, worship leader, and a songwriter. She really cut deep for me today, our conversation did, because she talked so much about really trying to like strive for your worth and trying to earn your worth that God is actually just given you. You don't ever have to strive to be better or to earn his love. Like, you literally just have to receive it because he's already given it to you. And that just really cut deep for me because so much of my life, I always feel like I have to strive and strive and strive. And I become so restless because I literally do that and I still don't feel enough. And I do that to try and feel enough. But again, I don't feel enough when that happens. And so it just like really, really cut deep for me. And I'm totally going to have to go and sit on that one when I get back home today. And I'm super stoked to share this one with you today because I really believe if you struggle with the shame of not feeling like you're enough and feeling like you have to earn your worth, then you are really going to, this story is really going to connect with you because it's going to show you that in order to earn your freedom, you just have to receive it. You don't have to do anything. You literally just have to receive the freedom that has already been given to you. So I'm super stoked to share this one with you today. And yeah, here we go. So who would you say Meredith Andrews was in the beginning of your journey with shame?
Oh, wow. Okay,
Take
Kira.
Me back.
I have a song called Take Me Back. It makes me want to sing it right now. But it's not about taking me back to shame. Anyway, Okay. It's actually the opposite direction. Okay, so I grew up in a tiny little town in North Carolina.
Okay.
A little town called Wilson in a tiny little church.
Okay.
I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 5 years old and went forward 3 weeks in a row. Like, you know, just to make sure.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I was in. And
like you went to the altar?
Yes.
Okay.
Like responded to the invitation, You know, five times. And my mom was like, you're good. You don't have to keep doing this. I'm like, oh, I didn't know.
Just one time.
I just thought like every time somebody said, do you want to receive Jesus? You're like, yes.
Just keep going.
Every week. Because I need Jesus every week, every second.
Me too.
So anyway, but when I, you know, as I was growing up, even though I grew up in a Christian home and gave my heart to the Lord when I was really young, somewhere along the way, I kind of started to make it about, like, if I did all the right things, if I made all the right choices, if I was a good girl, then God would love me more and I would be his favorite.
Okay.
And I think that that was actually shame-based of kind of going, like, I'm not enough, or God's love for me isn't enough. I have to prove myself. I have to
do
measure
something.
Up. I have to do something.
Yeah.
And that's we were talking about this earlier. We're both threes.
Yeah.
So maybe like just
from get that.
Childhood,
yep.
You know, just kind of feeling like I need to do something that's worthwhile that makes me feel like I have purpose. You know,
I think it's all about significance, right?
Yes,
like specifically
absolutely.
Being a three, like we want to feel significant.
Yep.
So we have to do something in order.
And if we're not, then we feel worthless or we feel insignificant.
Yep.
And so I think even as a kid, I felt that. And so, as I was growing up, I just remember having this. I would have never said it to you like that. I never would have articulated to you, oh, if I do all these things for God, then he's going to love me more. You know, I never would have said that because I knew what the Bible said. I knew that it was by grace that we're saved through faith, you know, and that it wasn't anything to do with me in the first place. But I think I just had to go on this journey with the Lord where he was just like, it's not about what you do for me. It's about who you are because I've called you mine and that's all that matters.
Yep.
And Kira, honestly, it took me 27 years before I finally even began to understand that.
Really?
And I say 27 because that's when I became a mom.
Okay.
So I, just this story, actually the song Take Me Back, I always tell this story before I sing it, but I was sitting at home with my son Maverick, He's my oldest.
Okay, you have really cool kids' names.
No, what the heck? Yes, I'm Maverick. But I have to say there are times when I'm like, why did I name him Maverick? I should have named him like Peace Be Still or like Compliance or yes. something, you know?
But comply.
It's all good. Yeah, I'm just like, you're going to be a Maverick in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen.
But I remember before all that, before his Maverickness came out, and I was holding him. It was like the first day my husband had gone back to work. I was alone with this newborn as a brand new mom, just going, how do I do this? God help me keep him alive. And as I was looking at his little face, these like tears just started to stream down my cheeks. And I just felt like my heart was going to explode. It was like the most natural love I'd ever experienced.
Hmm.
And in that moment, as I was looking at him, and it was just quiet and we're just sitting on the couch, he's asleep. The Lord just whispered to my heart and he goes, Meredith, that's the way I love you.
Powerful.
And it was so powerful because it started to unravel all of that performance kind of based mentality that I had, that I have to do all these things for God to love me, to earn his love, to earn his favor.
Yeah.
And because I knew what God was saying to me, it was like he was going, I don't love you because of what you do for me.
Yeah.
And I don't love you more on your good days and less on your bad days.
Yep.
My love for you is constant and steady, immovable and unchangeable. And I love you because you're mine.
Yes. Yep.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. And that goes, and I go like, wow, that's really my identity.
Yeah.
It's not what I do. It's just that he calls me his own.
Yeah.
And it took me having my first kid to finally even begin to understand that. But that was when the Lord really just started me on this trajectory of going, wow, I there's no pressure.
Right.
Like, I mean, granted, like the grace of God empowers us to live holy. The grace of God, the grace of God compels us to love people, to serve, to pour out, to follow the word of God, to let that be the foundation of our lives. But it's not a pressure thing like I have to follow all these rules or else I'll get in trouble.
Right, totally.
It's I want to live this way because I've encountered the love of God that is not based on what I do or don't do.
It's a want and it's like peaceful too.
Yeah,
there's not really
exactly.
any anxiety
there's
with
no
it.
There's no anxiety with it. It's just freedom. It's just like, oh, this is who I'm meant to be.
Yeah.
And God is calling me, like he's inviting me into this place of I get to live from being loved. I get to live understanding that every bit of shame that was on my life, the shame of needing to perform, the shame of trying to measure up, the shame of comparing myself to other people.
Yeah.
Like God is, he's breaking it off.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that like I don't wake up some days and go like, man, I really don't feel like enough today.
Totally.
You know? And mm-hmm. I think it's just this continual walking it out of going, all right, how do I like align my heart with what is true so that I am not living from a place of shame or trying to put my identity in what I do or how I'm received or if I'm rejected or how people perceive me. But how do I live my life from a posture of, okay, everything I have, I've been given, but I've been given so much. And now I can walk in just this beautiful freedom and peace, like no pressure, just going, God, thank you that this is who I am in you. My identity is rooted in you.
Yeah.
And that's all I need to know.
Totally. Well, and like taking you back to like even before you had kids, what were specifically like some voices in your head? Like what were they saying to you? Because honestly, for me, I remember like I've actually had some really like dark voices, I always call them, because sometimes they're just really intense. They would say things like, I'm bad.
Right.
Or like, why the heck would you do this?
Sure.
Like, they're so mean and angry.
Yeah,
almost.
Totally.
What were those for you?
Well, absolutely. And that was, I mean, those voices sound familiar.
Yeah.
I think we all have heard them at some point in our lives regarding maybe something that we did or something that we felt or even something that was done to us.
Yes.
And even just hearing these lies echo over our lives of going, you screwed up or you're beyond like anybody ever being able to love you.
Yeah.
Or you know, you're not enough. I think that was the thing for me, is like always feeling like I wasn't enough. Like, okay, I didn't measure up, especially in certain circles. Like even when I started coming to Nashville and and writing songs and working on music, it was like, man, I don't know if I fit here, and I don't know if I'm good enough, and I don't know if I can, you know, my voice or my songs or whatever. It's just all these things. And I think you just have to, again, like, there's always going to be lies that come against you. There's always going to be, the enemy is always going to be coming at you with like these condemnations. Mm-hmm. But when you remember what God's word says, like, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Like, the Holy Spirit doesn't work in condemnation. If you feel shame, that's not from God.
Right.
If, you know, God convicts, he speaks a specific sin, and he doesn't do it in a way that's condemning. He's doing it in a way that's saying, I have better for you.
Yep.
Like, step up. Like, I'm calling you out of that.
Yeah.
I found you in this pit, but I love you too much to leave you there. I'm calling you out of it.
And it hurts, but like, you know it's for your best interest.
Exactly. Because he has something better for you. Yep. That's exactly right. And so I think that you just have to learn how to differentiate those voices of going like, okay, what is a lie and what is the truth?
Yeah.
How does God speak to me? And I think instead of like focusing on the lies, what you do is you focus on the truth. And you
the word of God.
Yeah, the word of God. Mm-hmm. So you can recognize his voice.
Yeah.
Like my husband, Jacob, he talks about this a lot. Like we talk about like listening to the Lord. Like I can still hear God. I might not hear his audible voice, but I can hear his spirit communicates with my spirit. Yes. Yeah. So I think what my husband, I love this practical kind of measure that he takes. He will read like the red letters of Jesus to acclimate his ears to what does Jesus sound like?
Yeah.
How does he talk?
Yeah.
You know, what's his,
the So then he can discern super quickly.
If this is from God or if it's not. And he's like tuning his ear to hear from God. And I think that that's really important for us, just to go, I don't align myself or subscribe to any of that, because I recognize immediately that it's not from God. Ooh. And even like Kira, with my own kids, and I know that I'm talking from like a mom's perspective, and
I love that.
Yeah.
I do that. Yeah.
Well, good. But like even with my oldest son, Maverick, like he, I know that God's hand is on his life. Yeah. And it's very obvious to me, but it's not obvious to him. And there are days when he struggles with shame so much. And he kind of goes on this pendulum swing. It's either blame, like, oh, it's their fault, or it's shame, like, oh, it's all my fault. I'm the worst on the planet. And I'm like, buddy, you got to get to a middle ground where you're taking responsibility, but you're understanding, like, you're a work in progress.
Yeah.
I'm a work in progress.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's expecting you to be perfect right now.
Right.
If you make a mistake, you learn from it. And don't identify it with it. Don't say, like, oh, this is who I am. I will always be a failure because of this, because that's what the enemy wants you to believe.
Yeah.
And we even had like something happen this past spring. It was on Mother's Day specifically, because it was a hard Mother's Day. And I remember he was crying, and it was like close to bedtime. It's the end of the day, and he's like, Mom, I'm so sorry that I ruined your Mother's Day. I was like, buddy, you don't have that kind of power.
Yeah.
You didn't ruin anything.
Yep.
So like, all I wanted was to be with you. And maybe some things are coming to the surface that we need to address. But here's what I want you to understand. Like, you are loved, and nothing will ever change that.
Yes.
You are not a failure.
Yeah.
You are not the worst kid on the planet. Like, you're just learning and you're growing, and we're doing this together.
Yeah.
And I just know that the enemy wants to come against identity. And he wants to come against destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Because like when I look at my son, I go, God has a plan for your life, right? But he wants to attack. The enemy is going to try to thwart that. And he's going to do that by trying to attack your identity and attack your destiny.
Do you think he initially tries to, this has actually got me really thinking, do you think he actually tries to almost attack our identity first? And then after that, like after he's got who we are, then he attacks what we will become.
Oh, for
sure. Like that's the second thing almost.
Because everything is rooted in identity. And if he can get that, then he's like got a foothold.
That's literally what I'm learning right now, because I was sharing with you like my story, but I feel like I'm finally rooted in my identity.
Yeah.
But now I feel like he's trying to take away my destiny.
Right.
And it's so funny, because literally at the same time as I've been thinking about all this, Alex releases her book, The Opposite Life. And it's just everything. I'm just realizing how big God's calling is on my life and on all of us as Christians. Is basically, you know, we are supposed to live counterculture,
yep.
which is so difficult because we have to be so rooted in our true identity, first of all. And second of all, we have to believe in this great destiny that God has for us.
Yeah.
And once you have the identity, like, that's great. But then the enemy keeps trying to attack the destiny, too. And I think that's what I'm sort of struggling with right now is I know I'm supposed to live this, like, great calling out. And I'm supposed to stand in the middle and, like, stand on truth for, like, specifically, well, like, even religions and stuff. Like, I feel like I'm supposed to not be – I'm supposed to be, like, the unifier of religions and be the unifier of, like, Christianity and the LGBTQ community. Mm. And so – I think that's, like, my destiny, almost. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where to start.
Right.
I don't know,
sure.
You know. And I found myself telling, like, I heard myself telling myself in the past, like, oh, who are you to do this? You know, you're not qualified, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But now I'm seeing, no, I actually am because God is qualifying me to do this.
Exactly.
And he drug me through this entire life story so that I could be this voice for these people.
That's exactly right. Because when you walk through something,
mm-hmm.
Like when you go through, whether it's you walk through something really difficult, like, and even like with your story, like you kind of had to figure out who you were and just go, okay, this is who I am.
Yes.
And this is part of my story.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to use this. Like, what's the why behind it?
Yep.
Because I think when you get to the bottom of it and you establish, like, this is who I am in Jesus.
Yeah.
This is what he's called me to. This is how he's uniquely designed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something to apologize for.
Right.
It's something to actually understand and steward. And so when I do that and when I allow God to do a deep work inside of me that establishes my identity, then I have authority to speak to that for other people.
Yep.
To go, like, hey, I've been there too. And this is my story. And this is why I want to share this with you. And I believe that, like, God has better for you. And I believe that he has a destiny for you. And you may feel stuck. And you may feel like you don't fit. And you may feel like
your identity is being attacked.
Yeah. But God has something for you if you can just get to the bottom of this and understand who he says you are.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Dang, so he literally attacks us first, like, who we are, and then after that tries to attack who we will become.
Right, for sure. Ooh. Well, because that's a threat to him.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know? Because, like, it's a threat to him for you to go, this has been my struggle.
Mm-hmm.
This has been my story.
Yeah.
But I believe that there's redemption and there's hope for people like me
totally.
That have walked through the same thing, that it doesn't have to be, like, some kind of weird thing in the church, that actually God is... And as complicated and complex as it may be, God knows what he's doing in the middle of all this, and he's not afraid. He's not afraid of your story. He's not afraid of, like, even you talking about the LGBT. Wait, I don't even know.
LGBTQ
community.
Plus, actually, now apparently.
Sure.
Community.
Yeah, sure. So all of this LGBTQ plus community, God's heart is for them. God loves 100%. Those people 100%. And so, like, for you to get to go, guys, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've felt those things.
Mm-hmm.
I've wrestled with who I am. I've hated who I am.
Yeah.
But this is what God has said to me. And now I get to stand in front of you and go, I am a person made whole because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that's what he wants for you too. He wants you to find belonging. He wants you to find identity.
Yeah.
He wants you to find destiny.
Yeah.
Where you don't feel like, oh, I don't have a place in the world.
And
you know?
Kind of like back to the theme of your story too, is it's not you have to, like, stop doing that thing before you can receive that love. Like, he loves you right then and there, just as you are, in your sin, in your brokenness, in your pain, like, just like that.
Yeah.
He loves you. And
that's
you don't have to, like, change that in order to receive his love.
Exactly.
But allow him to change you inside.
Yes. Because so many times we think that, like, people have this, like, concept that if I'm going to come to God, then I have to get my stuff together first. I have to, like, clean up my life.
Totally.
Lay down some things. But I think when we just come to God as we are,
mm-hmm.
and we're honest about our brokenness and our struggles, I think I just see the Father smiling on us and going, I know.
Oh,
I know.
Yep.
I see everything.
Yeah.
And I love you still.
Mm-hmm.
And watch what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because we're never going to be able to overcome those things in our own strength or our own power.
Right.
It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we just invite the Holy Spirit to come in and go, all right, you do what only you can do.
Yeah.
Yes. Holy Spirit, would you come in and would you rearrange my life and transform me in a way that I could never do for myself? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need a self-help method. I need the power of God. And I just love seeing the power of God on display, the way that he works in the lives of people and the way that he transforms their stories and their journeys for his glory. And it's, he does it.
Yeah.
And it's, and they go, I just woke up and it and was different.
And then people like see you from who you were versus who you are now. And they're like, I literally don't know that person. And I could not imagine if you didn't know that person before, you're like, I literally couldn't imagine that person before.
Right.
Which is so beautiful. Yeah. It's totally the transformation.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, okay, back to your story specifically, but thank you for speaking so much life in me.
Yeah,
you almost have me in tears, so, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, you knew the voices in your head back in that time. So, like, going now into being a mother, and you were talking about specifically how you're really trying to shepherd your children to, like, live in the middle of responsibility, but also not taking... not like putting the blame on themselves, I guess. Not taking on the shame. So, how, like, how do you do that?
Oh, if only I knew. No, it's a daily surrender of going, God, these kids are yours. Like, you've entrusted them to me. But what's really beautiful and astounding is that, the Lord has revealed so much about myself and my own struggles just as I've parented my children. And when my oldest was four, and I keep talking about my oldest because he's the guinea pig. He's, you know, I don't know. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. And then, well, let's try a few things. And here we go. But when he was four, we moved from Chicago to Nashville. And it was pretty hard for him. It was it was a hard transition. And he had kind of... in his four-year-old little heart, just set down some roots in Chicago. He loved his friends and the church we were at and the snow and, you know, whatever. I can't say that I love the snow as much as he does. But I remember coming to the Lord at one point, and it was probably like 6 months after we had moved.
Okay.
And I was like, God, I don't know how to do, I don't know how to parent this kid. Yeah. I don't know what to do. I don't know what he needs. I don't know how to be what he needs. And God just said to me, Meredith, how do I parent you?
Yes, and that's right. Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, is this a trick question? Like, I don't know. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And the Lord just said, am I ever harsh with you? I was like, no, you're not. I mean, you're firm and you're consistent and you're persistent, but you're patient and you're tender.
And you're kind.
And you're kind.
Hmm.
And the Lord said, parent him like I parent you.
Yep.
And one of the things that he gave me is like, he's like, whenever, you know, you confess your sin to me, whenever you come to me and say, God, I messed up. He's like, I don't ever isolate you. I don't ever put you in the corner and make you sit there and think about it. He's like, so maybe don't do that with him. And so I had this picture in my mind of like, God, you always move towards me. You don't ever stiff arm me. You don't ever say like, go sit over there. I'm going to distance myself from you. He doesn't do that. Because he's a God of love, and he's always love. He is love.
Yeah.
He, that means he's always moving towards us. It means he's always pursuing our hearts. He's always pursuing reconciliation with us. So I need to be doing that with my own kids.
Right.
You know, like, but I'm human.
Yeah.
So I get frustrated, and I want to just be like, go spend some time by yourself.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is necessary.
Right.
But not in a way of going, all right, you're like in a way that feels isolating, condemning.
Yeah.
Exactly. In a way that just goes, okay, I think you need a little bit of space. I'm going to come talk to you in 5 minutes.
Yes.
Maybe just settle down, have a think, talk to Holy Spirit.
Yep.
I'll be up there in a minute, you know?
But not like go to your room and
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, and that's been so key for me because it's almost like I can feel it in my own heart and kind of, like, I was a good kid.
Yeah.
But there, I was hypersensitive to any discipline in my life. So anytime anybody, and it wasn't even usually my parents. It was usually, like, teachers or, like, anytime anybody would, like, talk to me and, like, scold me, I would cry.
Yeah.
And I've just always been really sensitive like that.
Yeah.
And so I can kind of feel that with my kids, too. Like, And it breaks my heart whenever they start crying because they feel. Yeah. But I understand. Okay, anyway, now we're getting into like the minutia of like parenting and stuff. All that to say, I think like God is just inviting us to understand his heart for us.
Yes.
And when we do, when we understand what he's really like, that, you know, maybe we had some misperceptions before of, you know, God being this the man upstairs who's just ready to strike you with lightning whenever you mess up, you know. He's not at all like that.
Yeah.
And when we read the word of God and when we get to know his heart, when we spend time in his presence, we understand his character and his nature. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think like for me, just as a mom, I know the nature of God and I want to communicate that to my kids so that they understand like shame is not from heaven.
Yeah.
Shame is from the pit of hell. So call it what it is and send it back to where it came from.
Yes.
Because that's something that they need to learn early on because they're going to encounter, you know, people saying things to them that feel shameful or hurtful. So what do you do with those words that are spoken over your life? How do you let it, you know, like,
and we do you hear it and then throw it out?
Right.
Or like, is that how you feel?
Well, I mean,
do you just straight up be like, nope, bye?
I probably hear it. Okay. I mean, I'm just thinking about like
you don't want to sit on it, of course.
No, you don't want to sit on it. You don't want to dwell on it. Cause I think what you entertain and what you, just the narrative that you allow to kind of plant itself. Yes.
Yep.
Like thoughts are so important. Like what is going on in your mind? Like being very intentional and aware of what you're kind of entertaining. Mm-hmm. But even just like teaching my kids that when we talk about, you know, water off a duck's back, you know, I say that to them all the time. I'm like, it's like water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not that, because I think that words actually have, they definitely have power.
So much.
But I think it's just going, all right, I don't know. I don't come under agreement with that. Mm-hmm. I don't come into alignment with that.
Yeah.
That word was spoken to me. It was hurtful. God, I give it to you.
Yes.
What do you say about me?
Yeah.
Who do you say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
What's the opposite of that thing that is actually true?
Yes.
Because the enemy will use people in our lives sometimes to speak the opposite of our identity or our destiny.
Right.
And to go like,
the people closest to you. Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it is the people closest to you. But it's because God has a plan for your life in that specific area.
Yeah.
Of going like, watch what I'm going to do. You know, watch how I'm going to use. Like people say, oh, you're not that smart. And then people, and then this person ends up writing a book, you know, or writing books,
right?
Like all these bestsellers.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And you see stories like that all the time. But I think it's just of going, all right, no, I'm not going to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to agree with what God says about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it really exposing for you? Like, you know how I was kind of talking about when God, well, for me, it was exposing my lies. But for you, it was kind of showing you who you were for a long time. And now he's like turning you into something else. So when I say exposing for you, was it kind of challenging at first because you're like, oh gosh, I've been living almost not the wrong way, but I've been, I guess I've been living the wrong way for
sure.
A while.
Because it was religious. What I was doing was religious.
Okay.
It was an outward display. It was how much good can I do?
Yes.
And there is such a fine line because faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
But my motivation was approval. Significance, position.
Yeah.
And God just had to tear all that down and go, my definition of success is not like the world's.
Yeah.
Like I'll just share this quick story, and I know I'm bouncing all around like in
that's all right.
the timeline of my life.
Yeah.
But when I released my very first record about 12 years ago, 11 years ago, there was a lot of hype and buzz around it. And I had signed with several of my friends. Like, we all signed at the same time.
Yeah.
Over the course of the next few months, I felt like I was watching my friends just take off. And I was just kind of back here just, like, putzing along, you know? And I got so frustrated one day. And I was like, Lord, I thought you called me to this.
Ooh, yep.
And God was like, why would you think that just because you didn't sell a certain number of records in a certain amount of time that I didn't call you to this?
Right.
And I was like, well, I don't know. I just thought that it would, like, if your favor was on it, then it would, you know, take off like all my friends are.
Yeah.
And God's like, I'm calling you to something deeper. Don't look around. Don't look beside, you know, right. who's running beside you. Like, I have something for them. I have something unique for you. Mm-hmm. You take care of the depth and let me handle the breadth. Because what I want to do in you is I want to build a story. And I want to build, send your roots down deep so that you actually have something to say. So this is more than just about songs or records or releases or numbers. And this is about, are you being faithful and are you being obedient? Obedient. Because the world's definition of success is accomplishment. And accolades.
Numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I believe that the kingdom of God, like success in the kingdom of God, looks like faithfulness and obedience.
Dang.
And just letting God do the deep work in us that he wants to do.
Yeah.
And so it has been a journey of me just like tearing down those, you know, towers of just trying to build my own kingdom. And like, I can make this happen and I can just work hard because I'm a three and I can manipulate it. And last year, God cleared my schedule, like four or five things that I was really excited about canceled on me.
Dang.
And I was like, wait, what? What'd I do? Like, please, can I please do this still? And it was hurtful. And I went for a walk in the woods. I went to this park out in West Nashville.
Okay.
And just walked around and cried and, I mean, people thought I was probably talking to trees, but I was just like having it out with the Lord.
Yeah.
And God just said to me, like, I cleared your schedule because I wanted time with you. I wanted this.
Yeah.
But you've been so busy. You've been so like working. And I didn't ask you to do those things. All I asked you was to be with me.
Yeah.
And like, let's get back to identity again. Yeah. Let's get back to intimacy again, you know, because otherwise we do tend to find these surface things that what we do, what people say about us, how much we accomplish, we tend to like put our identity in those things.
Yep.
If we're not continually coming back to the source and going, God, what do you say about me? Who do you say I am?
Yeah.
So
that's powerful. And I think God is like actually speaking that specifically over my life right now too, because everything, like even the last few podcasts I've had and like the podcast that I've personally been listening to, Messages at the Belonging, like everything, the word has been brought back to stop striving and rest in me and just trust that even when you're not working, I'm working for you.
Exactly.
And like, well, Lauren Daigle actually talked about that in her Annie F. Downs podcast. I don't know if you checked that out, but
no, I haven't heard it yet.
It was so good.
Yeah.
And she literally said, which I knew like pieces of her story, but I didn't know all of it. And she said, like basically after her record before Look Up Child, she, God asked her to like take a year off, just do nothing, take a year off.
Right.
And so she literally did nothing for a year,
right.
Like didn't make music, didn't do anything. And he was preparing her for all of this, her biggest album ever.
Yeah.
But yet she, in the midst of all that, she was like, God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because that's what, you know, we have to ask ourselves sometimes because we're like, God, what are you doing?
That's and then so it's good, like, though.
Kind of just shut up.
No, totally.
Let me do the work while you're just resting and sitting back.
That's right.
And believe that I can do all of these things that are greater than anything you could imagine. And
absolutely.
That's like, as a three, it is really hard because I want to create my own success and I want success so badly and significant so badly. That I just have such a hard time resting and trusting that God is just going to handle this. And I think I wrestle with having dreams, but also like allowing God to dream for me.
Right, almost. For sure. And I always say that, Kira, like God will outdream us any day. Like you don't have to go wrestle down your dream because the things that he's dreaming for you are bigger and better than what you could ever imagine for yourself.
Yeah.
But he gives it to us in pieces or else we wouldn't be able to handle it.
No.
And even just like talking about Lauren, like and how she just took a year off and was just so obedient in that, like, man, that is so good because in the world's eyes, that looks like, oh, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. You know, you could be doing this. You could be working hard. You could be like building whatever. And God's like, no. I will build it.
Yeah.
You take care of your heart.
Right.
You make sure that you're grounded in me.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure, like, it's like God wants to do an inner work in us before he puts us in any kind of public, you know, platform or spotlight or whatever it may be. Because he knows that if we don't have that inner work that has been done, if we have not built a strong foundation on identity in him, on the word of God, on like, what is God calling me to do?
Yeah.
What does he say about me? What is on my life? If that's not our foundation, then if all of a sudden we're just like propelled into this immediate overnight success, then chances are it's going to destroy our lives, or that's going to fizzle out very quickly.
Yes, totally.
And I think God is just saying, I'm building longevity here.
Yeah.
You know, we want to finish strong.
Yep.
So let me do the deep work in you in private, in secret, when it doesn't look glamorous at all. And you feel like your dreams are on the altar. But that's, I mean, sometimes dreams have to die before they can actually come to life.
So you like, you really don't, do you have many like dreams for yourself anymore?
I mean, I do.
Yeah.
I do for sure.
Because I'm trying to let them go. But I also, again, I feel this pull of like, you need to dream.
Yeah.
And you need to dream big. Because I think I allowed so many of my childhood dreams to like be kind of cut off, essentially. Yeah. And I was such a big dreamer when I was a child, just like all of us.
Yep.
But I kind of let them die for a while. And I've achieved a lot of those dreams. But I've like forgotten to keep dreaming, I guess, but I don't know if I'm supposed to keep dreaming.
No, I think we're always supposed to keep dreaming, but I think it is just, it's about
not
dreaming with God,
not
holding on too tightly
and
just having, going like, this is a partnership. God allows me to enter into his kingdom, to partner with him, to further what he's doing on the earth. Like I'm a piece of that. I'm a part of that. So I want to dream with him. Mm-hmm. God, don't let me dream anything that's outside of you or outside of what you have for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this, I have a dream right now. Like, it's a vision that God gave me this summer, and something that I believe that he wants me to build and start at some point, but I don't think it's today.
Okay.
And he just said, like, I'm going to give you a vision for it
mm-hmm.
so that you can start praying into it, so that you can start seeking me. Don't go to, don't go try to make it happen.
Yeah.
Don't go try to go like, oh, well, I could get pull this
person in,
this person in, and we could do it here and look at it. He's like, no, don't try to make it look like what you think it should.
Yeah.
Because just let me cast the vision and let me like,
but
watch
you
me
can
let
start
it unfold.
Believing in it now, right?
Yeah,
like the
exactly.
possibility.
It's more just like, it's in my heart. All right, God, I'm waiting on you. Like, what do you want to tell me about it? How do you want to prepare me for, so that I'm ready when you say go? You know, because
that's
what
I need
to
ask myself. How are you going to prepare me for this?
Yeah.
Or like, sorry, what do I need to do for you to prepare me for this?
Right.
Basically?
But a lot of times that's just quiet. A lot of it is just because what I've discovered, and this is so hard for us as threes, is that revelation, like a download from heaven, which is what I want. I don't want like, oh, I can do this because this person did it. I can do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do it heaven's way.
Yes.
You know?
So good.
But like, if I want revelation, then I have to learn rest. Because revelation comes from rest.
Yep.
Impartation comes from intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Not from striving. Not from figuring it out or manipulating circumstances.
Yep.
It comes from just being with God.
Yeah.
Listening for his voice. Letting him tell me who I am. And then just going, okay, I just know this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because this is who I am. And it's just naturally coming out of me. And I think when we quiet our hearts and we allow God to speak, like, he accomplishes more in a second than we could in years.
I'm going to be sitting on a lot of this after
me
this
too.
This
I'm
is
preaching
all
to myself.
So good. Yeah.
I'm preaching to myself.
But like, this is literally all the stuff that I need to hear right now. And I like wasn't really expecting to hear it. So I appreciate all that.
Oh, for
That's
sure.
That's amazing.
Of course.
Dang. Well, and like, okay. So again, back to your specific story. But you, like, God basically just showed you, hey, this is not how I parent. And you broke through with that, and now you've kind of been talking about how that's gone with your kids and stuff. But where would you say, or like maybe who has been holding you up during this entire time? Like God, of course, but who else in your life has been like really sort of the rock for you?
Yeah. Well, I have, I mean, we are a part of a church called The Belonging here in Nashville. And it has been a game changer for us. We've been there for, I think, maybe 4 years.
Okay.
And, I mean, even the way that my kids talk about God now is different.
Hmm.
Just the faith that they have, even just to lay hands on somebody who's sick. And it's just changed things even in the just kind of atmosphere of our home. And I'm just thankful for all the people there. So I'd say like my church family as a whole has helped me up. My best friend back in North Carolina, her name's Christy. She's this my
seven
friend.
Yeah.
Yes. And she's awesome. Like, she's just a ball of joy. And so grounded and faithful and such a servant, and I love her. And man, I could just call her and talk to her about anything, or just be like, hey, I need you to pray for me with this, or and she's become a mom recently too, so it's fun even seeing
so
her
fun.
Her journey. And and she helped me, like, when my kids were little, like, she would help me with them. So she, you know, she's like part of our family.
Mm-hmm.
I have a nanny that helps me with my kids, and okay. she is just practically speaking, like she's also very much a part of our family. And,
mm-hmm.
She's helping me raise my kids. Like right. she's not there as often as I am. And, things are changing a little bit now that my kids are all in school,
totally.
But I'm really thankful for her and mm-hmm. the way that she has loved on my kids like they're her own.
Yeah.
And she served our family and we in a time when we really needed it. You know, when God has called us to ministry and we're like, how do we make all this work? How do we love our family well, make sure we're healthy, and then also minister to people outside yes. of our home and on the road and wherever. And that's always really tricky. That's
I'm
why
sure.
you just need people to go. Like it takes a village and it takes... we were never meant to be islands. We were never meant to just try to figure it out on our own. And I think, the times that my husband and I have felt isolated, it was because we weren't intentional with community. We weren't intentional to go like, hey, y'all come over for dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, and we just have people that, we love and sow into us and we sow into, that are holding us up.
Yeah.
My parents. I mean, I could go.
You like, go this is on like and
I get
on.
A list of certain people. There's a lady named Lisa Johnson. She lives in Franklin, and she's brilliant. And she prayed us through like the hardest season in our marriage when we first moved to town.
Yeah.
And another lady up in Chicago. Her name we call her Wheeze. Her name's Louise, but she goes by
Wheeze.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And she actually works in Christian radio, but she is a prayer warrior. And those women, man, I don't know where I'd be without them. But they just have interceded for us and poured into us and spoken scripture over our lives and just spoken life over us. And we all need people like that.
Totally.
And I mean, especially people who are on the front lines in ministry, people who mm-hmm. are day in, day out, just trying to pour out. And
yeah.
Like, I need that. And mm-hmm. if I get to the place where I think I don't, somebody slap me because that's
seriously.
Then I'm deceived because we always need people to hold up our arms.
Right.
And to tell us the truth when it hurts and just to encourage us on the hard days.
And what would you say to maybe like moms specifically or dads even who like, kind of are going through things themselves and they don't have that community. Like maybe they've even tried to have the community and it just hasn't come.
Sure.
Like what would you say to those people?
Yeah. And we've been there as well. I mm-hmm. totally get that.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think that God hears the prayers of his kids and he answers them.
Yep.
So just ask him.
It might not be your timing, but he will.
And it might not be the person that you thought. Like it might just be this random guy who just, you have this connection or this, whatever. I just believe that God knows what we need when we need it before we know,
right?
You know, before we even ask. But just ask him. Mm-hmm. Just say, God, I feel really lonely. I need somebody that I can, you know, walk alongside
mm-hmm.
and just have friendship with and have conversations with that are edifying and encouraging and building one another up and relatable and real, mm-hmm. you know, because that's what we were made for.
Yeah. And I can totally say that's true, too, for my own life. Because for so long, I have felt so misunderstood, like where I grew up and stuff, small town Indiana.
Right.
And, I mean, my whole life dream was I'm moving to L.A. I worked in electronic music for, like, 5 years, six years, something like that.
Yeah.
So my whole thing was I'm going to live in L.A., work in electronic music, and had no desire to move to the South.
Right.
Like, I know that Nashville isn't super South, but, like, it's the South.
Sure.
So I had no desire.
Yeah.
And it is wild because I feel like the one prayer and like wish for my heart was I just want community. And
right.
I thought I was going to have that in LA. And then God moves me here and I'm like, I have been blown away by the community.
That's
like,
awesome.
It's so the values here and just like people that are actually so willing to build into you
mm-hmm.
and not like have to take something from you.
Totally.
Is so powerful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's really important.
Yeah.
That like. Just what you said, that they're building into your life
mm-hmm.
and not looking for a return.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
It's awesome.
Oh, it made me cry.
So good.
Yeah. So who would you say Meredith Andrews is now that you've unlocked your freedom?
Oh, wow. I think Meredith Andrews is still on a journey to discovering even more freedom. Because I think it's like we're moving from glory to glory. It's like
so true.
This increasing understanding, this increasing level of freedom. But now I don't have this. I've like shut down the voice that said, you have to do more. You have to do more. And just going, no, I don't. I just need to be who I am.
Yeah.
And be with the one who created me.
Right.
And that's enough.
Yes.
And there's so much joy in that. Joy. So much freedom in that.
Mm-hmm.
Going, and I'm just really thankful for where God has me. And even like the challenges with my kids to be able to, I just kind of have this bird's eye view and go, guys, like if you could see what I see and the things that God has taught me over the years, like he loves you. This is not the worst day of your life.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And you're actually going to be stronger because of it.
Yes.
And you can trust the Lord because his heart for you is good.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to try to, again, we've already said it, but you don't have to try to figure it out or make it work the way that you think it should.
Right.
Just trust the Lord. And be at rest, like be at peace,
because
he's good.
Yeah. Well, and like, how have you seen your freedom, like break the chains of other people around you and beyond just your kids? Because I think you've gotten into that a good amount. But like maybe family chains or maybe the people that you get to worship with in church or when you're traveling.
Right.
Anybody.
Yeah. Well, a lot, so many of the songs that I've written have come from just very specific circumstances in my life. Like my album that's called Deeper, all of those songs were born out of the first year that we lived in Nashville.
Yeah.
That was such a hard year for us, just the transition and God, why are we here? It was hard on our marriage. And all of those songs came from that. Okay. And so I've had so many stories of people just saying, like, my marriage was in a hard place and this song helped me. I was, you know, I lost my dad to cancer and this song was what pulled me out of the pit. And all these different stories that I've heard, whether like through Facebook or, you know, people Instagram or people coming up to me after a show. But I also remember too, you know, it's like there was a story of, I think it was probably 2 years ago. We were trying to decide, my husband and I were trying to decide if we were going to come off staff completely at the church that we were in Chicago.
Yeah.
We were living in Nashville, but we were still going up there every other week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really hard on us. And we didn't feel like we could put roots down because we were flying to church, you know?
Yeah. That's
insane. And yeah, it was a little insane. And then like three little kids. So we had a tree fall on our fence. And this is random, but I'm getting somewhere, I promise. We had a tree fall on our fence in our yard and just took out the fence. And we didn't really even have money to cover it. And tree removal is super expensive. So we're like, Lord, we just need you to provide for this, like so that we can get this tree out of the way, we can repair our fence. And it was, we had this moment where my husband and I were up late and we were like, well, we can pay our tithe or we can pay for the tree. And we're like, well, let's pay our tithe and just believe that God is going to gonna cover this. So we paid our tithe that night. And then the next day we got, literally the next day I got a call from my manager that a promoter that we were going to do a show for in the spring. So this was like 9 months out, wanted to go ahead and pay us up front the entire honorarium. And that was more
which, like,
than
never happens.
Happens. And it was more than enough to cover the tree. Honestly, and then that event actually canceled and they were like, keep the money. So
what?
It was crazy.
Okay, that's insane.
It was so insane. But I remember that whole thing. It was such a journey for me because I was like, all right, Lord, what are you saying in all of this? Obviously, you can provide and you're going to take care of us. But so as we were wrestling and praying through, are we supposed to come off staff? You know, it was really scary because it would be the first time we didn't have salary. We'd just be like, I'd be traveling. He'd be
freeloaders.
Freeloaders, exactly. No insurance, you know, all that. So when that happened, it was like the Lord was saying, you know, I will honor your obedience and I will always take care of you. I'm your provider.
Yeah.
So you can trust me. But then the whole fence thing, like I feel like, actually, I don't know if you know Mandisa.
Yes.
But she,
powerhouse.
I forgot this until this very moment, but we met for lunch and she's like, Meredith, I was asking the Lord for a word for you. And I feel like he gave me the word fences. And I was like, what? I was like, well, we just had a tree fall on our fence. And then all of a sudden, it was like the Lord just showed me. He's like, you've been on the fence about, you've been straddling this fence between Chicago and Nashville. And I'm asking you to plant here.
Yeah.
So I've actually removed the fence so that you can no longer sit on the fence. And it was like this whole download of like, get off the fence. Yeah. I've actually destroyed it. And so there is no more fence. And plant here. This is where I've called you to be.
Stay on one side.
Stay on one side. Oh, so I actually shared that one night at church. And I just felt like God was like, share the fences story. And it was just so cool what God did in the room. And even the stories of people just going, I needed to hear that. I've been just wrestling with this and kind of felt like I wasn't ready for change, but God is asking me, and I'm just, that was confirmation. And just stuff like that just blows your mind when you're just obedient, you know, and you just share what God puts on your heart to share. You share your own story and where you've been and what you've gone through and how God redeemed it all.
And I can't stress this specifically enough, your pain brings healing to the world.
That's right.
Like that,
that's right.
I heard that in a, we did, my friends and I did like a, what do you call those things? I guess like a meditation. And I don't ever do that kind of stuff. And I honestly like laugh when that kind of stuff happens. But for once, I actually enjoyed the message of it. And that stuck with me so hard. Your pain brings healing to the world. That's suffering brings healing to the world. I'm like, okay. I'm down to suffer then.
You know? Totally. And I think it's also, it's when we allow God to heal that pain. That we're able to go, now I can actually bring healing wherever I go, because I've experienced that pain and I've watched what God did
through it. And changed me.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. Where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram. It's just at Mere Music, M-E-R-E Music. Could also be Mere Music. You know, there's a little double entendre in there. And then, so that's my Instagram and my Twitter. And then on Facebook, it's just facebook.com/MeredithAndrews. Cool. My website is MeredithAndrews.com.
Okay.
I think that covers it.
Sick. And like any new things coming out, touring, album?
There's some things in the works. I release a live worship album in March, and we're probably going to do another installment of that.
Cool.
Hopefully record it by the end of the year, release it early in the new year, and then maybe a little tour around that. Also released a song that I wrote with some friends of mine and my husband called Faith and Wonder. We released it in Spanish. Super excited about that. Kind of always had a heart for Latin community. I've been overseas a couple of times and led worship in Spanish, so always wanted to do that. And
sick.
So kind of like going in that direction a little bit too, because I believe that God's heart is for the whole world. And I just want to see what he's doing in the nations. So I'd be a part of it.
Powerful.
Well,
thank you so much for coming on and sharing your own personal story, but seriously, this has probably for me been the most like life-giving, and I feel like God has really been just convicting me throughout this entire conversation. So I like really want to say thank you for all of the words that you've spoken over my life, because it's like God knew exactly what I needed to hear today. I guess I knew what to ask. Like, I think he was telling me what to ask the whole time. And typically, like, we're more focused on the person's story. But this for me was very unique and like convicting and just life-giving. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Kira.
No problem.
That's sweet.
If you want more life-giving conversations like what you heard today, you can click the big red subscribe button and go follow me on Instagram. It's instagram.com/therageboss. You're going to find some weird, wild, hopefully some inspiring content on there as well. So thank you so much for tuning in with us today, and we'll see you next time. Bye.